thank God as we go into the time of teaching tonight. I want to encourage you, please check your phones, and if you would, please put them on mute, since you may not need to say anything for now, and you can unmute yourself after the teaching. Get your writing materials and your Bible ready, and we invite Pastor Obi to take over and teach us tonight. God bless you, sir. Over to you.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Keziah. Thank you, Desua. Thank everybody that is on the line tonight. We thank God for the hunger he's put in all our hearts, and that's why we're here. We will not stop thanking God for the 24/7 prayer. It's not easy, but we thank God that to continue to offer sacrifice upon this altar. So we give God glory. Amen. Tonight, before we begin to share, and I pray that God will continue to open our spiritual understanding, and we'll be encouraged, and that the things that the Spirit of the Lord is bringing to our attention will be valuable and effective in our lives as we continue to serve God on this very special generation. Before we go through some of the scriptures and what we're going to be looking at today, I just want to first of all encourage us, those of you that are married, to please take a moment this week, and because it's just an atmosphere, even though we're in a culture where of course, the awareness of love and marriage is being promoted, we should take advantage of this week and do something special for your spouse. You know, try to do something special to make your spouse feel a little bit special, and just do something special for your family. And take some time this week, mostly the intercessors and all of us on the line, and just take some time and just pray for marriages. This has been declared a marriage week. We know that marriage is on a very high target list of Satan. And so we just have to pray for marriages. And as we see the nations decaying in that area, just trying to pollute and pervert the whole purpose of marriage. So please take this week as an awareness week for marriage to pray for marriages. And those of you that are married, revisit your covenant, revisit the value and the joy of walking in the covenant that you have, and just pray for your husband and for your wife. Amen? Amen. Amen. Today, what was coming to my spirit is more in the area of encouragement. I want you to receive this tonight as an inspiration and encouragement of what you are already doing. I want you to receive it as something you are already living, something you are already doing, and let this be as an encouragement to you and as inspiration for you, so that your hands will be lifted up, your nails will be, you know, encouraged, and also, it will also be a prayer point for if there are aspects of what I'm going to share that you need, to just pray that God will give you, inspire in that area. I don't know how to place subject on certain things, but at least tonight, one of the ways you can remember this word is the word is for sustained desperation, you know, for God to give us a sustained desperation or a life of faithfulness in the area of prayer, you know, living a life of faithfulness in the area of prayer, or having a lifestyle of sustained desperation, you know, in the assignment God has called us in the place of prayer. And so this is what you're already doing, or else there won't be any 24/7 prayer, or you won't be on this line at this hour of the day. So I pray that God will encourage you with this word. Also, I'll be reading a lot of scriptures. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures. And then after the scriptures, we'll say a few things. And before I read the scriptures, you know, I want you to sometimes, I don't know if you ask yourself questions, as especially in the things of God, but the question sometimes I ask myself is, you know, what is the motive, what is the reward that drives people to go to work every day? There are people that do two jobs, and there are people that they do one, but they work hours, some 12 hours, some 8 hours. They wake up early in the morning, they go to work, they come back, they're tired, and they eat, they go back again, rest. The next day, go to work, and they do this thing all year, and then continuously. Some have two jobs. What is the driving force? What is the motivation? Because in the physical nature of the motivation, there is a reward. Their focus is on a reward. And the reward will empower them to do a lot of things, to fulfill their dreams, maybe have a house, go to vacations, buy stuff, live a very comfortable life. Because the reward is money. You know, they want to earn good money, and able to take care of their children, their families. Again, you know, sometimes think about people who go to school. What is the motivation for somebody to be paying? You pay a lot of money to go to school. And you pay a lot of money and you go to school and you're motivated to study volumes of work, assignments. Why? Because at the end of 4 years or 7 years, 8 years, they come out with a reward. And that reward is in form of a certificate that says you're a doctor, or you are a lawyer, or you are a this, or you're a dad, or a business. And that certificate empowers you to have jobs that will give you a leverage in the area of money. And money, again, provides you with access to things you desire. So there is a motivation. There's something that drives people to do this. And they do it day in, day out, day in, day out. They are so faithful to wake up early in the morning, work late, come back, go to school in the morning. It motivates them. Why? Because there is a reward. So there's this scripture also that we read, and it says that Jesus, Paul was saying in Hebrews 12, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, the reward that was set before him, the joy, he endured the cross. Jesus saw a reward for the cross. He knew that that cross is going to be painful. He's going to die. He wrestled, he fought, but he was going to that cross with a vision in his mind. There was a reward behind that cross. And that reward, he knew, was going to be the defeat of Satan forever, and then the regeneration of sons and daughters to be adopted through that victory into sons of God, into the kingdom of God. You know, it was a great price, but the reward was greater. The future was greater. So there was a motivation, there was a passion. That reward empowered him to go with a passion towards that sacrifice. Also, the jobs we go to, there are people that their job, they do it with passion because the reward, they've already planned what they're going to do. I'm going to buy this car, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to build this. That job can drive them for years because they are not just going in vain. So, having that in mind, there is something that I want to read to you tonight and share with you based on this scripture. So as I read this scripture, I want you to take note of this element of the reward. And there's a scripture again that that was given to us in Hebrews chapter 11. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, first of all, that right there shows why a lot of people don't pray, or a lot of people don't seek God. Why? He says it requires faith to please God. Why? He said because God is a spirit. Now, that's one point for that scripture. In other words, people physically can be passionate about jobs. People physically can be passionate about things that they can physically expect a reward. They can see the reward. They can plan for it. They know the reward. David said when he was going to fight Goliath, is there not a cause for this? What is the reward for this? So they can physically see the reward for it. They can see the benefit. They can see it tangibly. So they are driven by passion because they can see. But here it says without faith. Why? Faith is the only way to be able to articulate, to be able to visualize, to be able to hold on to things you don't see that God has revealed that carry rewards with them. So a normal or just a kind of Christian or people who have not taken time to really understand the things of God does not really believe in rewards by God. So because the things of the spirit, they see it as, they don't really see reward in it. You know, even though we are born again, we're Christian, we don't see reward because they don't walk by faith. So God said, without faith, it is hard for a believer to please God. Why? Because God has prepared rewards. God has prepared rewards. But the only way God can reward people with what he has prepared is that they walk by faith so that they can receive it. So when people don't walk by faith, they literally nullify everything God has died to give it to them as a reward. So that's not pleasing to God. So he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God, in other words, talking about relationship, prayer, or seeking God, he that comes to God must believe that he is God. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, tonight, I pray that God will encourage you, one, to see your prayer life, to see the things of God by faith, that the first thing to look at, just like the word is, there is a reward. God has a reward for asking, for seeking, and for knocking on the gates of heaven. There is a reward. For you to live a Christian life and to seek God and to fast or to give or to pray especially without having an expectation for reward means that you are probably not really, you're praying by faith, but without expectation, without a reward in mind, without a vision or an expectation in mind, we could easily faint. We can easily give up. We can easily relent. So one of the things that sustains a desperate heart in prayer, one of the things that sustains faithfulness in the area of prayer, because prayer is purely faith, pure faith, is one of the ways to sustain that is to pray that God will give us a vision or to give us understanding of what we're praying for, why we're praying, and to give us kind of true scriptures to give us an expectation for what we're doing. So, we must have a reward in mind, just like everybody else in the physical world, but we must have a reward in mind, a substance in mind, for us to sustain the area of prayer altars and sustain the area of our fellowship and relationship with God. There is no physical reward that can ever be compared to the least spiritual reward ever that God can give. And without the knowledge of that, a lot of people miss out on spiritual obedience. Because the Bible says this. Jesus said it. He said, if men that are evil can have an expectation for their children and can reward the expectations of their children, if they ask for bread, will not give them stone, if they ask for egg, will not give them scorpion, if they ask for fish, will not give them snake. If they have a genuine expectation to reward the desires of their children, he said, how much more God? So, God is a rewarder of the expectations and the desires of their children, especially in prayer. But how does this reward come by? I want to read a few scriptures to you to see one of the keys of receiving the rewards of prayer. And that you'll see this thread in what we call sustained desperation. The first we want to read is in Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus went ahead and said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he went ahead and established a model, a principle in the area of prayer. And we all know the story. Off the top there, first of all, is to approach God as a father. Because God is God, is sovereign. But he says one of the key to getting to the heart of God in prayer is to separate God from just being God, but call him a father. Meaning you are approaching God as a son. That is a different paradigm altogether. Now, then he says, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means God already has something in mind in heaven that he desires to release on earth. So we must know what that is. So when we pray in alignment with that will, we'll be able to receive that reward. Not just in heaven. All of us will be blessed in heaven. We're talking about receiving kingdom rewards on earth, you know. So he gave them the principle, but then he gave them the key. And I started reading this scripture as the beginning, and then when you see the other scriptures I read, you'll be able to discover this key in the life of these people. So after teaching them the model, he now says, here is a key. He says, from verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his joining is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are in bed. I cannot rise and give you. Closed door, shut, difficult situation, no result, no breakthrough, very hard door to press through. But I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity or persistency or what we call their sustained desperation, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. So he says, ask, you shall receive, knock, seek, and you'll find. That is the key of receiving reward. Now, in this story, you will see the components. One, this man wants bread, not for himself. There was a crisis. And his mind was set on that crisis. And the crisis before him was at midnight. So, but the key is, he knew the place where the answer is. He said, we are coming to a God who has no limit in responding. in resources, in whatever we are coming. So you go to the right place, which is bread. There's bread there. But then he says, what will keep somebody knocking even when it looks like there is no hope, there's no answer, everything is, the door is shut, everything is over. There is such a resistance. What will keep somebody on the altar of prayer and never leave that place until there's a breakthrough? Because you must have a vision of why, what you're praying. What is the reward? That man had a friend that is on the point of crisis that is going to die in his house if he doesn't have food. So in his mind, if I don't get this bread, somebody will die. But if I get this bread, somebody will leave. So there's a reward. So there's something in his mind he was carrying, and he will not let go. So Jesus says, that he had in his mind created a desperation. And that desperation had to be sustained on the altar of prayer until you receive the reward. Amen? So he gave that illustration. So I want to read a few more scriptures here. Here's another one. He gave again in Luke chapter 18. And he said, he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to give up, not to faint, because it's very easy to faint after waiting for a long time. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not man, feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continue coming, she will weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust, a wicked judge said. And shall not God avenge? Shall not God reward his own people? Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them. God will reward speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith in the earth? It was in this scripture that God showed me that word faith there, just add faithfulness to it. Shall I find faithful people? Shall I find faithful? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. So, but for you to see it, you have to be faithful to what you have seen by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But faithfulness is working out the revelation of what you've heard until it comes to a place of manifestation. Peter said to Jesus, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, God has revealed this thing to you. But then Peter has to walk with Jesus until Peter manifested that same nature. So here in Luke 18, Jesus is saying, if the Son of Man come, will he find people who are faithful? Will he find faithfulness? Because that story of the widow, he said, he continually will not give up, will not let go. Why? The woman had a vision that there will be a reward. Justice will be met. And when I get justice, there will be a reward. You know, and she stayed on it. So that's one story there. We'll look at. Then here is another one. That Jesus also, what happened, this one is in the Old Testament that we are very much aware of. This is in Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. This is in heaven. This is God's heart. This is God's desire. So now God puts this desire in the hearts of people. And here is what the desire looked like in the hearts of people. Verse 6, I have set watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem. We shall not hold their peace day nor night. Yes, you that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, and give him not rest till he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. What does that praise mean? God says, this was my heart. Until I restore the righteousness of Jerusalem and the glory of it comes forth. So God now says, this is what is in heaven in my heart. I'm looking for people on earth to dream with me, to carry this passion. But how can they sustain? How can they wait? How can they be praying for this vision and be able to tarry in prayer until it happens? I have to show them what that looks like. So God had to put this burden in these people, put this vision. What will it look like for God to restore the righteousness and the glory of Jerusalem? And so they get this vision and they begin to pray into this vision. They write the vision down and they begin to pray. Though it tarry, say, wait on it, pray on it, tarry upon it, pray for it. Eventually that vision will come to pass. So Jesus had a vision of what will happen after the cross. And he held on to it. And that was his passion. That was his enduring passion. And the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author. So we need to always, as we pray, we must ask God to open the eyes of our understanding. That God will reveal to us, that God will empower us to give us vision, to give us understanding as we pray, as we're waiting on God, as we're seeking God, something to fuel our patience and to drive the zeal of our prayer and to stay on the altar with a sense of desperation. Because now you see the next story I want to share, why desperation is very key to the manifestation of sustained intercession. I want to read now from another story in the book of Mark, and then we'll summarize this. In the book of Mark chapter 10, I'll read from verse 46. And they came to Jericho, that's Jesus and his people. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. He started praying. That's prayer. He cried out. So we are praying, we're crying out, we're praying we're praying, seeking the Lord. Now here, he cried out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. In other words, the people were telling him to shut up. Don't stop praying. We have our mindset. We have so many cares of life. We have so many things that are contending for the place of prayer in our generation. Every generation, the cares of life. You know, our jobs, there's nothing wrong with that. Family things, these are cares. These are necessities. We have things to do. We have a lot of things. So all these things are multitudes in our mind. There are things that are demanding that we shut the altar of prayer. That they are crying louder and saying, you don't have to pray. You don't have to put all this in prayer. You don't have to be consistent. You don't have to be faithful. You know, these are multitudes of the cares and the things we face. If these things are not real, the church will be full of people praying. They are very real. And they appear to be the loudest needs that we have, contending for prayer. But look at the life of, a good example again is the life of Daniel, similar to this. Because of the lifestyle of Daniel on the altar of prayer 3 times a day, nothing could distract him from it. He was a hardworking man. He was faithful. He was one of the presidents elected in Babylon. He was committed. He had such integrity because of his excellence in his work. He was choices of men, and he was not found in any way lacking in faithful to his job. But he prayed 3 times a day. We don't know how many, whether it's 1 hour or 2 hours, but the Bible made the statement that he was faithful because that was his lifestyle. Because nothing could pull him from it. His job, family, anything could not pull him from that altar. He discovered that that was the source of his reward in everything he does. So when nothing could pull him, because he's found the secret, Satan literally inspired a decree. Because nothing else could stop him, he inspired a decree to stop him from prayer. And that has worked very perfectly in America. If you take prayer from children from school, as they grow into livelihood, everybody begins to find the place of prayer to be non-valuable. So when Satan can get to the point where he's making decree not to pray, that is already a sign, the power of prayer in the heavens. So that was the extent the devil went to shut down prayer. When the multitudes of the cares of life could not stop Daniel or quench the altar of Daniel. So here, in a way, in a figurative way, here are this number of people. This blind man has caught a vision. He heard that Jesus was passing. This was my moment. This is my generation. This is a time to see the condition of my life change. This is my opportunity. I've heard that this man can do this. I've heard that he can do this. He can do that. God can do. So now is my time. My generation has come. My moment has come. And here he started crying, started praying, God, do this for me. God, do this. God, stop. Son of David. And here multitudes are saying, shut up. Shut up. You know, I have family. I have children. I have job. I have bills. I have that. I have this. And just one after the other to take us from the place of desperation, prayer. But here is what happened. Without a vision, this is what happened. As they kept pressuring him, he said, hold your peace. But he cried out the more. He didn't stop at crying out the more. He says, a great deal. He cried out louder. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. My brothers and sisters, listen to what happened. And it says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to come. And my brothers and sisters, when our desperation and our place of prayer is not louder than the distractions that pull us out of the place of prayer, is not louder than the cares of this life, if our desperation does not provoke more sustaining times of prayer and waiting on God and staying faithful, if it's not louder, our prayer altars will be suffocated. And God will not be able to stop in that generation and be able to bring that generation through the miracle. Or stop in a situation and be able to offer the breakthrough that we need. But here in this revelation here, this man there was a key. He knew, he had a vision that I'm going to get, there's a reward. And this is my opportunity. This is my generation. And this is a reward. And this is my window of time. So he cried louder. He pressed in louder than destruction. He pressed in more. You know, this did not just happen to him alone. The Bible says in the book of Luke, when Jesus was warring in the spirit, in the garden, and he was warring, the Bible says he warred to the point that he was sweating blood. And then when he got tired, if you go read it, it says he prayed even the more. He pressed in the more. and his sweats were like dreadful blood. Why? Because if you read Psalms 22, there were confrontations. He was fighting God. Is this your will? Should this cup pass by me? He was warring, but there was a desperation that he was looking at the vision, holding on to the vision that was set before him. He endured that war and was able to go forth and carry the cross. If anybody think that we're going to see a breakthrough, a move of God, without a sustained desperation, we will be making a mistake, because we still have a devil in this world and we still have flesh. So without faith, without pressing in and holding on to a vision of what things will look like when Jesus stops at your house, what things will look like when Jesus stops in America, what things will look like when heaven opens, because he will do it again. What will it look like? Is that what I'm praying for? Is that what I'm believing for? God, give me a vision. Give me understanding. Why am I sacrificing? Why am I doing this? You're already doing it, but give me something to keep me sustained on this altar. There are so many rewards. Having a personal relationship with God, having refreshing from the presence of God, having just allowing God to do deeper work in you, falling in love deeper with God. But on the other hand, God is saying, I still have a reward. Souls of a generation, the condition of people, God can still do miracles today. He's just looking for somebody that will make him stop there. So he cried, and oh, you know the rest of the story. He said, what shall I do for you? He says, that I might have my sight. But here's what Jesus said at the end. He says, after he opened his eyes, he said, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. What is the faith here? What kind of faith does he have? Actually, what is there is your faithfulness in the altar. I heard you cry the first time. I kept walking. I wanted to see if you'd be faithful, if you're desperate, if you really want this, and I heard you outcry every other voice that was saying, you don't need this. You remain the same. Leave the situation the way it is. You don't have to bother. You don't have to cry. Just stay that way. Keep begging. Keep your begging life. Keep your condition. You cried louder and louder. I heard you. I heard you the first time, but I wanted to see if you have enough, if you're faithful to what you're believing. And when I saw your faith, I stopped. So it says, shall I find faithfulness in the earth? And so when you study the story with the widow woman, you see it's not just talking about the word faith. It's talking about faithfulness, because it talks about this woman that will not let go. And then it talks about the friend at midnight that would not let go. The key was there, the persistency, the sustained desperation to stay until something happened. And then look at blind man and use the word faith. There's another woman, a synchronization woman, one of the Canaanite women. She came to Jesus asking for Jesus to heal her daughter. There was something in her mind that caused her to come. But whatever it was her daughter that was possessed with a demon. She is tired of this situation. She knows that she's heard about this Jesus that can cause demons to leave. We know the Bible, Jesus, God says, he says, he that comes to God must believe that God is. He's a rewarder. We're not coming to men. He's a God that has proven from Genesis to where we are today that he's a God that still gives revival. He's a God that still saves a generation. He's a God that has moved in the past. We have the record in the Bible. We have the records from when, after the Bible has been reading to now, there's been moves of God. There's been God touching nations. We have testimonies of people, or even now, of what God has done in nations. So God is still God. But we see the condition that has caused God to stop in certain areas and do incredible things. The condition is where God finds sustains desperation, he will still do the same work. So this woman, I've heard that this God can cast out the devil in her wife, in the daughter's life. He can deliver my daughter. He can save. So when she came to him, she came through unbelievable resistance from the disciples. But she pressed on. She went through another level with Jesus, testing her. No, woman, you know, bread is the children's bread. I will not take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Humiliating situation. The woman pressed beyond, but even the dogs eat the crumbs. She was persevering in prayer. She was pushing. Why? There was something behind her mind. She knew that whatever this will cost me, I will get it because I have come to where I can get it. I will get it. I will pay the price because there is a reward. I know that my daughter will be free from this thing. Whatever it takes, there is a reward. And she had that reward in mind. But she went to where the bread is. We must understand, God says, when we pray, we must know who we are praying to, that there is no limit. So once we settle that, then we know that every delay is not because, it says, shall not God bear a little bit? Or with the vision, when it tarries, God said, wait for it. So if there is a delay in breakthrough, in a city, in a nation, in what we're believing for, God is saying the delay is not a denial. The delay is God is trying to build something in us to a place that he can use the faithfulness and the confidence we have in him to do even greater things in the life of our generation or expectation. So we see that again, with the life of a woman with the issue of blood. All these areas, after Jesus told the parables of the not to faint and the friend at midnight, you can see examples. Anywhere you see Jesus say, your faith, you will see it has to do with persistent desperation. The widow woman pressed beyond every shadow, every resistance, every opposition, went through the crowd, pressed through until she touched her garment. And Jesus says, your faith. That word, your faith, there means you persevered, you pressed through, you sustained that desperation because you had something in mind. That woman felt, I have heard this Jesus can do it. And so, because he can do it, I will not relent. I will stop at nothing to get my breakthrough. In other words, I will give every sacrifice. Why? Because I know that the door I'm knocking, if I get there, there is no way I will not get my result. So, why do people not pray? And if, when people pray, why do they give up? Two things. One, they don't realize actually, we're praying to a God that has no limit to whatever we're asking. So Jesus says, when we pray in the teaching of the prayer, settle one thing, who are you seeking? Who are you asking? Who are you knocking? Who is it? If he's God, you know he has the bread. He has no limit, and he's your Father. So if you settle that aspect, then you have entered a place that will now, you can look back. Because the person is saying, Jesus is saying, he's teaching about prayer now, he's telling them, once you settle that aspect, that this person has the solution. This person can do what you're asking for and even beyond. Once you know the bread is there, then you start knocking. So the problem is, one, that you will not get the bread because the bread is there. The solution is there. The answer is there. God has done it before. Then he says, the next problem is you must have a reward in mind. You must have a reason for why you are going to him. And you must have an expectation that he will do it. That he will reward. Because why he says God is a rewarder of the diligent. Why? The diligent has an expectation for reward. A lot of people are praying without expecting reward. So, he says you must believe that you're going to get bread. If you go to where the bread is, you must believe you get bread. But what is the reward? What is going to be behind your mind for you to be able to sacrifice and pay the price? The widow woman is justice. The friend at midnight is, I'm not going to let a man die in my house of hunger. I'm going to stay here until you give me. The people in Isaiah 62, they carried the burden to see Jerusalem restored in glory. You know, and all these different blind Bartimaeus, he had a vision. What will it look like for me to see? Because I know this man can give me sight. My God, what would it look like for me to see? And now I have the opportunity to experience that. Nobody can stop me. I will press through everything. The widow, the woman with the issue of blood, he has tried every worldly thing. Now I have opportunity for somebody. I have heard a report that he can do it. I will press through every crowd. I will press through every opposition to get it. So my brothers and sisters, we have prayer 24/7. We are praying, and I want to thank you. Without your knowing it, these things I shared are in your heart. But by sharing it, I want you to begin to pray that God will give you tangible visions, tangible expectations, things that will cause you to begin to dream with God. God, what will it look like when you respond to our prayer? What will America look like? What will the lost look like? What will my family look like? What will, just don't dream it and think it's not going to happen. A dream is not just what you, a dream in alignment with the promises of God is a vision. So that way you don't wait for God to, some people have visions and they carry like Joseph. But if you want to have a vision, align a scripture to an expectation of promises over your life, over your city. As long as it's in the Bible, pray until that thing becomes a real expectation in your heart and you begin to hold it as a vision. The reason today why I know that by the grace of God, nothing can take prayer away from my heart or take the prayer is after many years, of course, I've fallen in love with God like you are. But outside of the love relationship with God, because I can have all that in heaven all my life. We can have all that in heaven. But while we are here, God wants to reward prayer and his souls and is to see shifted, is to restore righteousness. And God can do it because he has the power and he's done it before. So, but what he's looking for is sustained desperation, sustained expectation that is undeniable. And that's what the Bible calls faith. So, what is also driving me is because 1991, I had an encounter and I saw a vision. That was the first time I ever knew what a vision is. And it was about what God would do in America, what God would do. So it consumed me. It overtook me. So that is also something I keep behind my mind. No matter what, I still carry that in my mind. And I see the different pillars that God showed in the vision, in the dream, are all coming to pass in different years. But the big picture is yet to happen. And so that keeps me desperate, keeps me expectant and looking to what it will look like when that aspect comes to pass. So my brothers and sisters, be encouraged. But have something in your mind. If Jesus will have something set before him, something he's meditating on, something he's holding on to that the Father has promised him for the reason for him to go to that cross, we must have something to help us. Or else, the cares of life, the things, the deceitfulness of riches, all these things of the world will become so loud that our lifestyle of prayer immediately will begin to diminish and our commitment to the altars of prayer will begin to lose the strength of it. So I want to thank you for staying on this altar. And I pray that this word will inspire you to continue because there is a reward. And God is not a liar. And that reward is not just the souls. It's not just a revival. But it's going to take you deeper into experiences with him. And I can testify to that. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for the love you have for your people on this altar. I thank you because you smell the aroma of their sacrifice. You see all the volumes and the noise of this world they have to press through to stay consistent on this altar of sacrifice. Looking unto you and believing that you are still the same God who honors and rewards a generation. Father, you said you will never cause people to seek you in vain. Give us, O God, an expectation that you are a God that will not deny or refuse the expectations of your promises. You are a God who keeps covenant. We, O God, are not seeking you in vain. You said, though the vision tarry, though the things we are praying for, the things we're expecting, though they tarry, you said you are still walking behind the scene. That though they tarry, we should stay in the place of waiting. We should sustain our expectation and our desperation to see you do something. So I'm asking you, Father, to awaken something in our heart. Let those on this altar begin to find a reason, something in their heart and mind they can write down, something you can reveal to them. So as they look at it, it drives them never to lose their zeal for prayer. Father, our generation is looking to you, and you are looking to the altar of prayer. And I thank you that you found such people. Father, let them be comforted, let them be encouraged, because I know America will not be what it is today if they were not praying. And I know what you're about to do in answer to prayer will shock and surprise us, that it was because of these hours of prayer. We go back to history and we see your principles and your patterns have never changed. And tonight, you've given us examples, and you're looking for faithfulness in the altars of prayer. And I thank you that you will preserve this altar and everyone on this altar in this sacrifice of prayer. And we give you glory for it. Father, keep us, sustain us until we see such an outpouring, such a breakthrough, such a move of your spirit as you promised in your scriptures. We know you will do it. We know you are eager to do it. And we know you've given us the zeal to expect it. So, Father, give us the patience. For in due season, in this hour, as we see the signs in the heavenlies, Father, we know you will do it. So thank you for encouraging the hands and the knees of your daughters of Zion and your sons of Zion, that they will not lose the reward they faithfully waited for, both on earth and in heaven. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.